Let's go ahead and read a few scriptures, and we're going to talk about, some of the answers that people might want to look to tonight. And yes. So we're going to pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every viewer, yes, every partner, every ministry friend, all our family at Faith City Church, all the partners of Spirit of Life Television Ministry watching out, all our cousins and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters in the Lord, everybody in Thunder Bay, everybody across Canada, we pray in the name of Jesus, the power of God will manifest himself, yes, right there wherever you are, because God is everywhere. He's great Jehovah Shammah, the ever living God. We give you praise for your goodness and your mercy. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. So we want to talk about this subject. You know, it's a very important subject that we need to talk about, and that is how to overcome anxiety. You know, everybody has anxiety at some point or some kind of a depression. So we're talking about depression, you know, and that can all be pressed upon you. Your mind is all, feeling jammed up, but with just negative things, you know, feelings of negativity and just gloomy and so on. And so it says here in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, we're going to read our scriptures from last week and introduce some more scriptures, but let's read the text we said last time and just to show you how terrible this depression is. And it says here, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. That's what the New King James says. But a good word makes you glad. So we're putting forth the good word of God and giving people the answer of how to overcome, how to cope with depression. So Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart causes depression, and a good word makes you glad. A good supporting scripture over here in Psalm 42:11, New King James Version says, why are you cast down, O my soul? You know, your soul is where the problem is. That's why the Bible tells us that we have to do something with our soul after we're born again, because we're a tripartite being. You know, we don't just give people medicine for the physical body. It's more than the physical body issue. There's a soul issue, and a spiritual solution. And so we want to look at that. It says, this man here, Psalm 42, David, he's talking to his soul. You know, we often talk to ourselves and tell ourselves, you know, hey, come on, we can do this. We can overcome and, different things. So he is talking to his soul. And the Bible tells us in Romans 12 that we have to do something with our mind, because our mind is part of our soul. You know, our will, our emotions, it's all part of that deal. And so we have to do something with that. So he says, why are you cast down on my soul? So he's talking to himself. Why are you disquieted within me? He says in Psalm 42:11, hope thou in God. If we got hope, if we got a vision that God is our solution, we got it made. He says, for I shall yet praise him. You know, praise is a huge part of coming out of depression. He says, praise, I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And so the common English version of Psalm 42, verse 11 says, why am I so discouraged? Why am I restless? I trust you, O Lord. I will praise you again because you help me and you are my God. So all of us from time to time have felt low in spirit. We've been down. We've been dismayed. It's a normal part of life. And yet the Bible says that we could overcome these things. You know, we mentioned earlier that there are people who, like we were reading, you know, we were studying at the college and we were teaching, you know, this kinds of material. And it says there about 90% of the people are actually suffering some kind of depression in some way or another. And so it says here in the scriptures, you know, that we can actually do something about that. And so we want to offer people some natural solutions, some practical things they can do to bring themselves out of it in a few minutes. And so we said there is a mild depression and anxiety, mental issues, mental health issues, and there's severe problems where you have, clinical problems, where there's a problem with the mind or the actual brain and the functions of the brain. So there's some physiological issues there that need to be addressed in some chemical area and treated with medication. You know, take medication and pray at the same time. You know, we learn in Bible school that prayer and medicine, it's not one or the other, it's both of them. Let's get, you know, get the people the medication, let's get them the care, and let us pray with them as well. So I think sometimes people want to think one or the other, but it's both both are solutions.
Right, and we've talked about the fact that doctors are in the same business as we are. You know?
Can you put this closer to you so we can hear you out of there? So
I hope
he's
you
gonna,
can hear me.
Yeah.
There, okay,
yeah.
Now I sound
right.
Great. Thank you. So doctors are in the same business as we are, as ministers. We mm-hmm. want to help people in as many ways as we can to get healthy and to get whole.
Yeah. So anyways, we want to look at some things that are something that we can do. And when you come out of depression, and we talked about some of the horrible things that happened. You know, the psalmist says, he brought me out of a horrible pit. And the deep darkness and the dismay that people feel when they're depressed, you know. I can think of people today that have a reason to have a depression because they've lost a loved one. They've went through different situations that are difficult in their lives. And so we want to make sure that we give a good solution to them from the scripture and then from some, you know, help from a natural standpoint. So.
And I just wanted to add, isn't, you know, depression is part of the human experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's normal to feel depressed when we've gone through a difficult event or a tragedy or you know, losing a loved one, like you said. There, we may enter into a season of depression, you know, like David talks about, but there's a time to come out of it as well. So
yes.
There's a time of depression, sadness, but there's also joy.
Yeah.
So we experience all that gamut of emotion.
Yeah, you see in the scriptures that, these people were going through different situations and God had to come up and talk to them. Like for instance, when Moses was depressed, he was down because, Moses had passed on. Now he's going to have to take the reign as a leader. And, we miss people who pass on, our forefathers in spiritual life, and they pass on into heaven and to glory. And then, people for a long time, they can't let go of that person who's passed on. And yet, they're in a better place. And yet, we have an issue with it because we feel so low that we cannot somehow pick ourselves up. But God tells the people, okay, it's time for you to pick yourself up, because God told Joshua in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, he says, okay, you know, Moses is dead now. Accept the fact. Now it's time for you to move on. And sometimes, you know, it might be as difficult as it is. It seems like a very single, easy solution. But yet there's some complications emotionally and different things that you have to do. And I think if we continue to hang on to the past, what happened and what could have been and so on, that's... The Bible tells us not to do that.
And God also spoke to Samuel when Samuel had anointed Saul as king and Saul messed up and was removed from his position. You know, God had to tell Samuel, you know, you've mourned for Saul long enough.
Yeah.
You know, time to go, fill your flask with oil, get out there, anoint the new king, David, right? And, you know, there was a season for that. There was a time for him to move on and get back on the mission.
Yeah, because very often if we're depressed, we're having a hard situation. And I believe we could actually, let's go to that scripture. Let's go to one you mentioned, and we'll talk to you about the other one in a moment. And I think in 1 Samuel 16, I believe, where we see this actually happening, we're kind of jumping to... a scripture that we weren't going to do this, but let's pick it up anyway. 1 Samuel 16, that's verse 1. I think some of our guys back there in the technical end of it can find the scripture for us. So I'm reading the King James Version. And God is talking to his man, his prophet, and he's telling him about this other leader who he was grieving about and having a hard time and actually depressed about it. The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him for reigning over Israel, fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me among a king among his sons. And so Simon said, how can I go? And he goes to explain about, you know, funny, he tells God about how can I go, you know, if Saul hears them, he'll kill me and so on. But very often, you know, when we, this kind of going off another end, but sometimes when God speaks to us about something, we tell God, you really want me to do that? Same like Paul, he did the same thing. When God told him to go and, of course not Paul, in Paul's life, Ananias, when he said that over in chapter 9 there, the book of Acts, he says, Ananias, go over to this guy named Paul, and, you know, he's a guy I'm calling for the ministry. And he says, hey, maybe you made a mistake, Lord. This guy's killing Christians and so on. So very often we have a problem with that, but that's kind of an extra thing we should add on tonight. It's not going to cost anybody anything. We'd add that on tonight. But here's a story here. In this actual story, God tells this guy, stop mourning. Stop, you know, in your depression and get out of it, you know. He was mourning. He was actually mourning for Saul and just doing that, you know. So it seems to me that there's a place in our lives where we can decide, this is enough. I need to do something about it. Even if you're clinically depressed, you can go and get help.
Right, right. And, you know, disappointment can bring us into a season of mourning or a season of depression as well. So mm-hmm. dealing with that disappointment like Samuel had to do and get a vision, kind of restart his life, right?
Yeah,
his mission from God.
Yeah, he's looking at this guy here and you know, he's feeling bad about it, and you know, some very very often we take issue with something in the past, and we put it before our faith. And this guy, of course, you know, when we're depressed, we're no good to anybody. We're no good to ourselves. It's hard to be cheerful and help people around you and bring people up, and we're supposed to bring people up. And God tells us that when we're up, you know, you see that later in David, you know, and I believe it's the 22nd chapter or somewhere there, 1 Samuel, and he comes along these people who were very depressed and having a hard time, but David was able to pick them up by him praising and giving a good word, and so we see that in the scriptures. So, let's read that one account of in Joshua chapter 1, just to show our viewers here. In Joshua chapter 1, and verse 1. And sometimes people can get right down, and they can't seem to shake themselves out of it, and God had to come and speak to those people. And I believe this word here is talking to somebody out there right now that maybe is mourning, and you're lamenting, and you're sorrowful about the past, or something that could have been, would have been, should have been, and you're feeling real down about it. God wants you to come out of it. And you have the ability to do that. And God didn't make these people do anything. He told them to do something. Sometimes we have to do something, make a move so that we can go ahead. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan and all this people into the land which I swear to give them, even to the children of Israel, every soul of you, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given thee, as I have said to Moses. So he goes on to explain to him what he gave him. But God wanted Joshua to stop crying about the past. Moses is dead. It's gone. You know, and so I think there's people, you know, that maybe they're, whatever it was is dead. It doesn't have to be a person, but their dream or whatever. But God can resurrect and give us a brand new dream, a new vision for anything, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. And I like, you know, I mean, Joshua knew Moses was dead.
Yeah.
But God had to remind him, you know, now therefore arise. I like those words. You know, yes, it happened, but go ahead. You know, the future is waiting for you.
Yeah. You know, I mean, anybody that's watching tonight, you know what what it is, you know, to go through depression and what it is to feel like you're in depression. And I didn't know as a young kid that I was in depression for a number of years until it was lifted up. I come to Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden this whole oppressive feeling left me. And I was rejoicing every day for a long, long time because I couldn't almost believe it. Because this cloud, this oppressive something was over me, had finally lifted up. You know where it says in there, I believe this is Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. And I'm just kind of picking some scriptures here that are more apropos for myself and to speak about, because you know, you can speak about what you went through, and you can speak authoritatively about how you came out of something, what happened to you. Might not be the solution for everybody, but somebody could relate to it, and they might have come out from another way. And so, over in the fourth chapter, I believe it's 16th verse, if I'm not mistaken. Let's go verse 15, Matthew 4, 15 and 16. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light sprung up. And this is talking about people coming to the kingdom of God, people coming into the light of the gospel of glory, the glory of God. And I can tell you from that scripture there, the time I got born again, I started to cry immediately, and the, you know, the cloud lifted from me, and the next day everything seemed new. And it's a glorious day when depression leaves you. And let's go over here to a scripture that we can all relate to.
Then was Jesus led up
of the Spirit into the wilderness. This guy is talking to me.
To be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay, so he's going to have to be quiet here.
And when the tempter came, he's competing with you.
He's competing with me. So he's trying to start preaching. Last time it was Siri. Siri tried to come over me. So let's go over here to a scripture that we can all relate to. He's trying to mess in with my Bible reading here. let's go to. We want to talk about the solution of being. Stay here again. We'll go to that scripture and Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. If this guy doesn't come on again and it's disturbed me, Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. So it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. You know, God hears you when you're crying. People don't think he hears you, but he hears you. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps, or my, some says my goings. The old King James, I believe, says that. So when you're in a depression, you're like in a horrible pit, like it says in the fourth chapter of Matthew, the people that sat in darkness, they saw a light. And when you come out of that, you come into light. And you know the scripture that I was mentioned to in Colossians chapter 1, it talks about in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he says, we thank God. Let's go. I'll get that for you again. Colossians chapter 1. Now I hope I don't get this guy turn on me again. Colossians chapter 1. And let's go to verse 12. And Paul is talking here to Colossians. And we're talking about coming out of darkness into light. I mean, I know this is talking about salvation. And when you get saved, darkness leaves you. Oppression will always want to come back. And we're going to have to reject that when it tries to get back on you. And you and I, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, have that ability to reject oppression and depression and suppression, whatever it is, and begin to change our mind and do something about it. Over here in the Colossians chapter 1, and let's go read verse 12. Paul is talking and he is actually praying. He said in verse 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made his meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered me from the power of darkness. I mean, when you're under depression, you're in under the power of darkness. You're in real darkness. You don't feel like doing anything. And so when I got saved, that's what happened to me. I came to I was delivered out of the power of darkness and came transferred into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear Son of light. And so thank God I came out of that, and now I understand. I was always afraid I was going to go back in there, because for a number of years as a young child, and you know, I don't think people recognize that sometimes they underestimate this, that children can be depressed, can get depressed. And so as a young child, as a preteen for sure, and as a teenager, real, real dark time, at 17, I tried to do away with my own life and commit suicide, and because I was depressed. And I know when kids go through different things, they could go into a spiral where they can't get out of it. And so that's what happened in my own life. And so I want to just tell the viewers that there's a solution for depression, and we're not stuck. So let's go back to the scripture. As we mentioned, depression is like being stuck in a horrible pit with no way out. He talks about it there. His feet was in the clay. And I don't know, I've been in the bush where you walked. It's not like quicksand, but it's like you walk in that mud and you can't almost get out of it. It's kind of scary. So that gives us a picture like that. When you're in depression, you can't seem to, there's no way out of it. You know, so people are looking for solution, and so we're spiritual beings. We possess a soul, and we live in a physical body. Our bodies can be oppressed. Something can happen to our brain, chemistry-wise, our natural man. Something can happen to us. Well, we can. There's medication that might be needed for a certain time, and then there's also our soul. We need some clinical help, maybe some therapy, maybe someone has to show people how to actually help themselves out of it. Mm-hmm. And then there's the spiritual part where we can get to the scriptures and feed with the Word of God and change our minds and change how we feel, because we can learn how to change how we feel by right thinking.
Right.
Bible talks a lot about it. And so these things are right in there. So we talked about Elijah having a hard time, and he went through a different time. And we talked about some of the factors why people get depressed, and it's not going to be hard to make mention of it. So when you're lonely and you isolate yourself, that could be a real issue for some people, especially around the COVID time. They're alone a lot, and you need to get out. Mm-hmm. You know, not be afraid. Lack of social support, stressful events in your life can cause you to go down. Family history of depression, maybe that's something that's passed on somehow there. Some physiological things passed on from generation to generation. Marital problems and relationship issues. Financial strain. Childhood trauma or abuse. Alcohol or drug abuse. Unemployment or underemployment. Health problems or chronic pain. So these things can really make it a factor for you to have or go into some kind of depression. And so we did talk about the sense of helplessness. When someone goes through depression, there's a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. They lose interest in just daily affairs of everyday life. You know, if I said to you, let's go for ice cream, he said, no, I don't want to go. You know, you don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. You weren't depressed, were you? No. Okay, so loss of appetite.
I would always want to go for ice cream.
loss of appetite. Okay, that wouldn't be you. So weight changes. So weight changes. You can lose weight or gain weight.
Right, right. People stop eating. Some people overeat.
Yeah.
Right, because they're looking for that comfort.
Yeah, me, I'm nice and slim.
Of course.
Okay. Sleep changes. So that's another symptom. Like, you know.
Right. I just heard of a young man. It was a radio phone-in program today, and a mother was concerned that her son, who's a teenager, is sleeping 20 hours a day. 20 hours
that's
a day.
Just like our dogs.
Pretty much.
They make good companions.
Just going through depression because yeah. he doesn't want to engage in school. School's online. I mean, you mentioned yeah. that young people are struggling. So that's an example of someone who's oversleeping just to, you know, escape, or they just yeah. don't have the energy.
Exactly. I wondered about that as a kid. Like, you want to sleep all the time. And that was a sign of depression yeah. for sure for my life. And then the fact that I was not interested in school or any of the activities in school. They want to do some activities even as well. I was not interested one bit about it. And I didn't realize until later when I went to visit a psychiatrist. I was in my late teens. I had some trauma, childhood trauma, and then I had some mid-teen trauma. And I didn't understand what PTSD was. And I was going through all these issues. And my doctor sent me to a psychiatrist. Wrote me a prescription and said, go see this guy. And so I went and made an appointment with me and talked to this person. I wasn't really interested in talking to him because I didn't believe that he could help me. And you know what? He didn't help me because I didn't believe. And if he would have said to me, hey, this guy can help you. And so I sat there in the psychiatrist's office and he asked me, are you depressed? And for the first time in my life, somebody asked me if I was depressed. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what depression was. And he asked me what it was, and I was depressed, but I couldn't articulate that. I couldn't tell him what that was. Or it wasn't until I got born again that this lifted off me that I knew I was depressed, because everything was bright. When it says, when Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 says that people saw great light who sat in the region of darkness. And when the light came in, I mean, literally, it was like night and day. And so I know... what people, maybe you're experiencing that today. Maybe you've been in depression for years, for various reasons. And you haven't done anything about it because you don't know what to do. Because if you don't know what to do, then you can't really help yourself.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. We're trying to educate people. Not just talk about some spiritual high-minded things, but we're talking about something where people live every day.
Mm-hmm. And I like what Psalm 40 says. We've referred to it a few times. It says, out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and establish my steps. So there are steps to get out of depression. There's things that God can show you how to do. It's not all spiritual. It's not all supernatural. But there's some natural things we could do as well.
So Psalm 40, verse 3 says, he established my steps. Mm-hmm. And God wants to establish your steps today. Whoever you
yes.
are, he wants to give you step by step how to get out of that situation. You know, instead of trying to get out on your own, we have natural help and we have spiritual help. Our pastor always says, Pastor Kenneth W. Hagin, he always says the spiritual and the natural, right, make an explosive force for God. And so we believe that I remember we had 2 weeks of orientation classes when we went to Rhema, and they taught us, like, you know, they don't know what kind of student. There's 2,000 students there, orientation day. And for was it 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks we had orientation. And they told us, sometimes, you know, if you're struggling with anything, take some medicine. Do whatever you have to do. So it's not all spiritual and it's not all natural. So it's whatever you need to do at the time. So we're trying to give both of these things here. So lack of sleep is one, or sleep changes, lack of sleep or sleeping all the time. Being angry or irritable, maybe I should talk to my staff. No, anger or irritable. Are you depressed? No, they're. We have the best staff in all that we
yes,
ever know.
Yes, we do.
We have a great staff here. There's never a day where they're all depressed at the same time. We take turns. So you're not allowed to get depressed at one time. So it's your turn next
that's
time.
Right,
no, we don't. You can skip my turn.
One can pull the other up. Right?
Yes, for sure. So anyway, that's kind of a joke, but sorry about that, guys. So anger or irritability, feeling agitated, restless, or even violent. Well, that could be there. Loss of energy, self-loathing, strong feelings, strong feelings of worthlessness, unworthiness, guilt, always criticizing themselves, putting themselves down, looking at their faults. So that could be a real good sign of being depressed. Reckless behavior, you don't care about what's going on in your life. Concentration problems, you're not getting a hold of your mind like you should. Unexplained aches and pains, and that can speak of a lot of things. So, right now, let's say that somebody's coming over on the other side. So it's a brand new day. When you come out of depression, it's a brand new day. And so the scripture says in Psalm chapter 40, verse 3, he's put a new song in my mouth.
Yes.
Okay? Praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. So when you come out of this horrible pit, people are going to know it. Mm-hmm. You got a new disposition. Your face is glaring and shining with the brightness of God. And you look like an angel. Everything's bright about you. I mean, when somebody is depressed, you can tell when they're depressed. For instance, I told somebody, I think we mentioned it last week, we went to visit someone, and I can tell right away, they're not their usual self. They were down. I can tell they were down. I could just sense they was down. And so we was able to talk and small talk. You know, just being with somebody can bring you back up.
Right.
Because the Bible says, a good word will bring a person up. And so you can tell when someone's down, but also you can definitely tell when someone is out of depression. There's a new song. They got a new song in their heart. And it shows in their countenance, it shows in the way they are displayed in life. So first of all, we need to learn how to talk to ourselves. Like the psalmist says over here, Psalm chapter 42, he talks about that in Psalm 42. He talks to himself, why am I cast down? Why am I feeling so low? And so we need to learn, first of all, to talk to ourselves and tell ourselves, we're going to get out of this. My hope is in God. God's not going to leave me like this forever. He loves me too much to leave me the same way. And we need to have some self-motivation, self-talk. Be our best coach, be our best cheerleader.
Yes, and David was a good one for encouraging himself in the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm. When yes.
everything was against him, David encouraged himself in the Lord, mm-hmm. and that's so important.
Yes.
We have to do that for ourselves.
Yes, talk to ourselves. So what can we do to better ourselves? When we're depressed, we need to know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The key is to start with some small goals, maybe perhaps, and start building ourselves up every day to get to a place where we're getting strong. So the Bible says over here, Psalm chapter 17:22. I'm reading the King James Version. It says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. So a merry heart. So we need to get to a place where we can get happy again. So what kind of things do people do to get themselves happy?
Well, I think it's what you focus on. If you start being thankful, grateful, thinking about what you have instead of what you don't have, that's a huge key.
Being grateful.
Yeah.
Counting your blessings. I mean, we used to sing that song, count your blessings, count them one by one, count your blessings.
See what God has done. We won't put you through our singing.
So those are good songs. I mean, that's a good song. We got to count their blessings, and that's I think it's a cliche sometimes, but that's real true. Mm-hmm. We need to start counting our blessings. One morning, the Lord began to talk to me about it. Began to say, "Listen, begin to appreciate what you have right now. Thank God we have health." Thank God we got work. We got a place to go tomorrow morning. We got friends. And this different things you can start counting your blessings. And a merry heart is important. So we need to learn how to get ourselves out of there. Do whatever we can to get ourselves out of this mood. Mm-hmm. And so number one, Learn to have a merry heart. Learn to just be your best, good cheerleader for yourself, and find something that you could do to do that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But number two is recognize depression for what it is. It's a condition that you can overcome. So it's not the end of the world. So we need to get busy, reach out to other people. Although it may be tough on us to get out there, sometimes there's more. Some people have a little easier talking to other people. Other people really struggle with that, especially if you're one of these. If you're very passive and you don't normally engage in conversation so freely, you're going to have to push yourself beyond that somehow and learn to talk more. So, anyway.
And there's other things you can do to get yourself out of, you know, your own situation. You can, you know, help someone.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't have to be always with words.
Yeah, for sure.
But you can go out and just be a blessing. Do something for someone.
Sometimes just getting out of the house changes your mood. Go for a drive. Put on some tunes. With something like it, like they're going, go for a drive, get in your car and put some music on and listen to music. And so I like that. So here's the scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I'm reading the New King James Version. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, God is able to do far more than what we ask or even think about. Like, you have to recognize that he can work in situations that we cannot ever think about. It will almost never come to our mind, but all of a sudden God has a way of coming into our lives and doing something out of the ordinary and bring us up. You know, it's amazing how he can do that.
It is, and just knowing that this depression, this feeling, this too will pass.
Exactly.
You know, it's temporary, and that just gives you that hope. You know, and when you start concentrating on God's power rather than on your own feelings, you know, that's one way to start moving out of that depression.
So number one is learn to have a merry heart. Find some way to start getting happy. Find something, start counting your blessings. Number two, recognize depression is not forever, that we can come out of this situation. Other people have come out of it. Even severe situations where people have a real reason to be depressed, because their problem seems so huge that nothing should be able to get them out of it than the natural, but somehow God does something in their lives that brings them out of it. Now, so God will help you get over that. Number three is live a positive lifestyle. So what does it mean to live a positive lifestyle?
Well, these are all the things within your control. You know, you can eat healthy, sleep well, have a routine. You know, I was just listening to a program on the radio. They were talking about how during this COVID time, because there's so much, so many things that are unpredictable in the world, it's hard on our brains. Our brain loves predictability. So one thing we can do for ourselves is just have a routine. Every morning, get up, make your bed. That's the first thing you can do, right? You're good at that. You're a champion bed maker in our house, this guy here. And, you know, just that alone gives you a feeling of satisfaction.
And I fold my socks, too.
Yes, he folds his clothes and socks. So making your bed gives you a feeling of satisfaction. Also, you're not going to climb back into it, right? It helps you start your day. You know, clean up, get out of the house, walk, you know, all those little routines mm-hmm. that can help you stay healthy. Phone a friend, talk to a friend, of course, pray, get in, you know, quote your scriptures. Just those routines that you do every day will help you stay stable, help you keep your brain happy, and help you, you know, get yourself moving out of that if you are having feelings.
So, get a proper diet. Get adequate sleep and regular hours sleep, not just 8 hours one day and then 2 hours next night and 4 hours next night and then 16 one other day. So we have to get a balance in our lives. And so number three, get exercise daily. You don't have to join a gym. You could go and do something yourself. You can start exercising just by doing some push-ups or go for a little jog around your block or walk around your house or something. Walk around in your house. I know someone said, I'm exercising right now. I'm walking up and down my stairs, you know. So they're exercising. Make some positive decisions. It's another one. By using the Word of God, by the principles of God's Word. And then God will change you. So here, Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh."
Mm-hmm. And that lust of the flesh could be that imbalance that we want to gravitate to, right? So we don't want to just watch 1 hour of Netflix. We want to watch 18 hours of Netflix, you know, and that really, after that, you're not going to feel good. You're going to feel depressed.
Yeah.
So just keeping that balance in your life.
Or 16 hours of hockey games.
Yeah, same thing. You'll get angry because your team's not always going to win.
That's right. That's right.
So just that lust of the flesh, right? Not giving into the flesh, you know, letting your spirit lead.
Okay, so that's a live positive lifestyle. Number four, protect your will. John 7:17 says, "If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority." Jesus says, "If anyone wills to do his will." And we have to want to do what God wants us to do. Like we have to take a whole of our own will and say, okay, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to follow what God says. And lots of folks don't think it's possible. And I heard, you know, some very simple saying, if God told us to do something, he would never tell us to do something we couldn't do. If God says, don't worry, don't worry. If God says, you know, praise. So he'll never tell you something you could not do. So it might be difficult. Bible says, go to church, you know, you can go to church, and you can put a lot of ideas why you couldn't, but you can. You can praise. You can read your Bible. Also, folks don't read their Bible. But so we can will to do what God says to do. You know, I found a scripture in Philippians where it talks about in there that God is able to help us to do what we should be doing. And I think I should read that scripture right now. Philippians chapter 1 and 2, actually, but let's go to chapter 2, I think it is here. Let's go to chapter 2. I don't know why this is not going to appropriate scriptures here. What is it? Okay, let's see. I believe it's verse 13. And I'm going to look at it from different perspectives here. So the King James says, For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Okay, so even if you don't have a strong willingness to follow or do something, God actually will put that in you enough for you to make a decision on something. All you have to say is, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. And he'll just strengthen you to make a decision. Let me just read it in the... let's read it for sake of this. The Passion Translation says, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. That's the Passion Translation. Let me read the New Living. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Oftentimes we don't want to do something. Like if God says, I want you to go to church, they're teaching a series on something, you need to go to church, and you're having a hard time reading your Bible, and he knows if he can get you there, he can implant that word in you so that you can be strong again. And just getting out of your environment and helping you get out of your depression, just getting away. And I know people don't want to mingle with people. Sometimes you just slip in the church. So he'll give you the desire to make that change.
And a good prayer to pray is the same prayer Jesus prayed, you know, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes.
You know, and that's been a prayer that I've adopted daily, you know, because there's many things that he wants me to do that I might not want to do.
Yeah.
But just, it's a good reminder that, you know, he will actually give me the grace and give me the ability to do it once I yield myself to that. And remember in Isaiah, it says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Mm-hmm. So God has many blessings for you, you know, when you become willing and obedient.
One of my favorite scriptures when I first started, you know, that's Isaiah 1:19. God is, what is that? How is it quoted again?
If you're willing and obedient. Yeah.
So you have to just be willing. Mm-hmm. And I was told that years ago, Roma, just have the willingness. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the strength to do it, just be willing to. And I realize, you know, even today, certain people, they don't even have faith for like healing or something like that. And I had faith for healing. So I just say, listen, all you have to do is agree with me. Just allow me to pray with you. Just allow me to pray with you. That's all you have. I remember listening to Brother Hagin. He said, this lady, she didn't have any kind of faith to believe. But he said, you can hook up to my faith. Mm-hmm. Like tonight, wherever you are, you can hook up to my faith. Because I believe that God can get you out of this. If you don't believe anything, at least believe this. Be willing to allow me to pray with you or for you. Or allow yourself the willingness, God, I'm open and willing for you to show me out of this dark mess.
Yeah, and I just want to add here, you know, don't let depression become your identity. That's not who you are. That's not who God created you to be. You know, when you're willing, just put yourself in neutral, in a sense, and, you know, let the Lord lead you to that place where He can free you from depression. It might not happen overnight, but it's a process where you start to be willing.
So these are practical things we're doing. Just show you that, you know, you can come out of this by you doing something. It's not all God and it's not all you. It's God and you working together. So here's something else. We're almost to the end here. Number five, protect your emotions by learning new attitudes. And we talked a little bit about that, but protect your emotions. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart. He's talking about your soul. Sometimes your heart is translated as your soul. If you look at the context, you know it's your soul. And if you see this sometimes in the King James, sometimes it's interchanged. So keep your heart or keep your mind, keep your emotions with all diligence. And, you know, watch over these things. For out of it springs the issues of life. And so you need to understand it's a heart matter. When you protect your mind, your soul can be free. Because if as long as your soul, they say your mind is a gateway to your spirit. You have to, if you allow things to come to your mind and you focus on thinking about these long enough, they become part of your spirit. They come inside you. And so you need to protect your mind, protect your emotions, protect how you think, because that really fixes your emotional state. Mm-hmm. What you think about most often is where you're going to be going to emotionally. And so protect your mind, your emotions, focus on the Word of God or the good things in life. Learn to encourage yourself daily. Be determined and be relentless.
Yes, and Paul even tells us what to think.
Mm-hmm.
We can just go to Philippians 4:8. It tells us, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
So he tells you to meditate on them. Meditating is not like some kind of a quick thinking, a thought about something. To meditate it means to grab a hold of your mind and look at that thing, whatever it is, a good thing, and just talk to yourself about it. Speak to yourself, this is me, this is what I can do. I'm coming out of this. This is not going to be forever. Things are changing. And begin to talk to yourself about it and share yourself. So, somebody said, well, how did Jesus deal with these kind of things? Well, first of all, he knew who he was. We need to know who we are. We're children of God. And learn your identity. We are of God. We're people of God. My identity is found in Christ. When I first got saved in the 80s, we were all going through some identity crisis back then. And people were saying, you know, and I got real militant about my culture and different things. And I went kind of overboard in different things. And I started questioning myself. It's not about the outward things. I had to find out my real identity. I'm First Nation. I'm Cree and I'm Ojibwe. And I have certain cultural things that I practice and certain things that I do that make me identify me as a First Nations person. But that's not all I am. First of all, I'm a child of God. And I had to recognize I'm God's child and recognize that's my identity. And everything else comes next. And so sometimes we get hooked up on the natural side. So Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was God's son. He didn't try to, be something he's not. So he knew his identity. He knew his purpose. Why was he here? Why did he come to the earth? And he knew his mission. What should he do? What's the end product? What's the end result of his life? And so I think, we need to understand that every day we get up, we need to know those things. Just like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Learn that we're here. God is our Father. I'm a child of God. And I got a reason for being here. So that really is, just kind of puts it all together at the end. So,
that's so powerful.
Yes.
Purpose is really going to drive you, to your destiny, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever you know you have to accomplish, you might have these bad days, but if you can look to your purpose and the purpose that God has given you, then that's going to really push you forward.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I don't know what you're going through today, but there is a way out of this situation. If you're not born again, you need to come to Jesus, and God will come inside you, break the oppression in your life. And if you allowed oppression as a Christian over the years, come into your life, it's time to get rid of that by breaking out of this situation and becoming determined in your life that I'm going to get out of this situation. I might slowly come out. It might not be overnight, and one moment it's snapping the finger. It's going to take a process of time. And be diligent and be consistent that I'm coming out of this situation. I'm not going to let it get me down. And I've seen people, I was in addiction for a number of years. They told us in this program that we lived in for a number of years, that they said even people with grave mental and emotional disorders, emotional problems, they can come out of this situation. And they were not Christian people. They had Christian principles. And they showed us that these people can come out of this situation. They saw people mentally handicapped, depressed, lost everything, lost families, lost their careers, lost thousands of dollars, lost material possessions, lost themselves living on the street. And God is able to bring them back up. And God is an expert. Yes. The Bible says that he can make a beauty out of ashes, beauty for ashes. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, that's so true. And it's the hope, right? When you have hope that can happen to you, you can come out of it, you have a life ahead of you. That's the main key. Just hang on to that hope, even how bad it looks at the moment. You will come out of this.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, yes. Those people that are praying right there, right now, whoever you are, I'm praying for you, and I'm going to declare over your life as you allow me to, in the name of Jesus. We declare that you're coming out of this situation right now. Not because of anything who I am, but because the Word of God says that you can come out of this. So I'm agreeing with the Word of God, and I'm praying with you. I have faith for that situation, and I believe all those people right now that are saying, I'm coming out of this oppression, and let it be so, even as they have said, you are coming out of this oppression right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray against that depression. Lift off that family, lift off of that home, lift off of that person's mind, and lift off of their entire life and all their children, and let there be known the light has shone and that there is a new song in their hearts. We give you praise for every person. We break the power of oppression, depression, and suppression, yes, in their lives. Every demonic force that has been assigned to deal with you destructively has to stop right now in the name of Jesus. And so we take authority over all those situations. We command the angels of God to go forth, angels, and cause the blessings of God to flow into that life again. And let there be freedom and joy. And I pray the joy of the Lord shall be your strength, yes, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As I mentioned earlier, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. come into my life and save me. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. Say that prayer right now. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. Forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Wash me with your blood. In the name of Jesus, now I'm a child.